to be quite frank, and I think the administration has failed to respond appropriately to what we've seen on campus. That and I certainly am not alone on this matter. That we'd like to see more direct criticisms of these acts in terms of using words like racist and white supremacist. That yes, we understand free speech, but this is more than free speech. This is hate speech. The chalking, especially directed towards Latino studies. This was designed to intimidate students, and many students of color on campus, faculty of color, staff of color, are scared, and rightfully so.
What would the reaction that you're looking for from the university, what would that look like? What would that entail?
Well, first, just in terms of the email responses, I think it'd be important to use the word racist and white supremacist in the statements that the school does – that the school will punish the perpetrators, including expulsion perhaps, and that such acts are not healthy and indeed are racist and are dangerous. But also I think – I mean that's just one step, Brian. I think as well – in some ways this is low-hanging fruit. The whole chief matter and the mascot – this issue haunts the U of I, and it has helped to create a climate where the chalking and the racism that we're seeing on campus can play out. I know the chancellor is in the process of trying to create a new mascot, but I would urge her to retire all the music, including 3-in-1, and to come out with a very clear statement. In fact, perhaps what would be fantastic is if she or if the next chancellor at the first football game this fall, if the chancellor, the provost, the football coach, the teams, student staff, if he or she came out and said, we are going to retire all the music, the hand clap chant, the 3-in-1, everything, and explain that this tradition is no longer part of what we want to be as a university, and do it publicly and have students and faculty and staff, the team. Just again, I mean, I'm just talking off the top of my head, but I think the school needs to be unequivocal in its stance against these racist acts.
So those are the issues that led to the Freedom Forum last week. Let's talk about the forum itself. What kind of a turnout did you have?
It was – we had 100 students or rather 100 people attended, faculty, staff, students. And I think what was so exciting about the forum is that we had faculty, we had undergraduate students, graduate students, and a community activist on the panel. So not only were we – not only did we discuss – the politics of solidarity, building coalitions. But we also wanted to encourage intergenerational dialogue across a broad cross-section of people. And I think we were successful in doing that. Again, so we had students, faculty, staff, folks from all walks of life in the room in conversation about how can we, one, address all of these issues, but two, how can we build a more truly democratic and inclusive university? And I think there we were quite successful.
I'm curious if you could just expand on that. What were some of the ideas that came out of Thursday night that you feel really can be productive as we move forward?
Sure. Well, one was just, again, getting all these people in the room together, people who sometimes are not that they may embrace many of the same politics, but to sit at the table and to converse and to exchange ideas, one, was quite an achievement. Two, the panel was quite clear about the need for stronger statements of condemnation from the university in response to future acts. And three, there was talk about action, actions that students, their allies can take. So perhaps folks discuss the possibilities of boycotts, economic boycotts against businesses in town that are known to discriminate against people of color, to picket, hold signs in front of buildings of various departments or programs that are known to create racially or to places that are known to be hostile to people of color. So some real concrete things came out of the forum.
And what's next in terms of discussions with the university administration, taking some of your concerns to them and hopefully getting those addressed?
Well, I certainly can't speak for the students, but what I do know, the students are energized, that they – I have never seen students in my years here as well organized and committed to building and transforming this place. So I think really the impetus for change is going to come from students. Faculty such as myself, fellow colleagues in the Department of African American Studies and the other ethnic studies and gender and women's studies can play will play a very, very important role. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be students who are going to change and or rather who are going to be the driving force for progressive change on campus.
What can people do if they maybe weren't at last week's forum, but they're interested in learning more about these issues and possibly contributing to the conversation?
Great question. I would say that, and we discussed this at the forum, that we encourage students from all backgrounds to take courses in the ethnic studies and gender and women's studies units. These departments, these programs, these units offer courses, interdisciplinary courses that provides students with critical thinking skills, ways in which to interpret the world that in which we live, in ways that you won't find really anywhere else. So part of it was to encourage students to continue to think both in the classroom but also outside of the classroom, that students have a responsibility to learn, again, not only in the classroom but outside of it. So certainly that would be one of the takeaways.